Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. We pray, O God, that our hearts and minds are open and receptive to your word. Lord, that your word will penetrate us and help us to live for you today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. The text for today is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and rejoice recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Lord, these are thy words. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true." Amen. You may be seated. Jesus went into the synagogue as was his custom every Sabbath day. And as his custom was, he would either read or proclaim the word of God. And if he wasn't proclaiming the word of God, then there was times when he would listen to what the rabbis had to say. In this particular instance, he came back to his own country, and he came back to the land where he had grown up, the city of Nazareth, and where he had grown up with his mother and his dad, and where we read the story once before when he was 12 years old, and they went to Jerusalem. And they went a day's journey going back home, and they couldn't find him. And they went back to Jerusalem, and it took them 3 days to find him. And he was in the temple talking to the leaders of the land of that day. And they were amazed that here was a 12-year-old boy that seemed to know so much, and questioning them of why they were doing certain things certain ways. Now he is grown up and he is starting his ministry, and he has already done some. He has done the miracle in Cana, where he had changed water into wine when they ran out of the wine of the day. And the governor calls the man getting married, and he says, "Why have you saved the best till last?" Usually they give the best first and save the worst till last. And the ones that filled the pots of water knew what had happened, although maybe the bridegroom didn't realize it or the governor didn't realize it. Jesus had healed many people. And so he's telling them here, you know, when I come back to where I grew up, you're looking at me as you're looking at that child that was in the a carpenter's shop helping his dad and doing those things that he had to do. And so we see that even in our own day, when we think back many times about our own life and we go back to where we started, and people will look at us in the eyes of how they seen us when we were growing up, and not how Christ has changed our hearts and our lives because we have accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior. And Jesus is telling these people in Nazareth the same thing. You are looking at me from when I was small with my brothers and sisters of that day. But I have started a ministry. I am here as the Son of God, and I have been proclaimed by God, because when I was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon me in the form of a dove. And it drove me into the wilderness, and I was there for 40 days. I overcame the temptations of Satan, and Satan has been put down under my feet. And so he says, I have come now, and you have anointed me with the Holy Spirit, and I am to preach the good news that God has fulfilled his time, and he has sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins and for each one of us, that we may have eternal life through faith in him. And so he's preaching this, and the people, of course, don't want to hear it. He comes to his own, and his own does not receive him because they are looking at him with eyes maybe of contempt or envy or whatever, but they do not accept what he is proclaiming to them, that he is the Son of God sent by the Holy Spirit into the world and to be able to proclaim the Word of God, that God's timing for sending his Son has been fulfilled, that his time is now, and I am the Messiah, Jesus is saying. And then he goes on and he tells them too, even in the preaching of the word, he says that I am to heal the brokenhearted, those who are despondent, or those who are down in their luck maybe, or in their down in the dumps, so to speak. And we see that they are despair, and they have nothing, they think, to live for. And yet, when Christ comes, we see the glory of God coming round about him and into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And as we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we find that he gives us peace, and he lifts that burden of sin from us. And as the song was saying, we are bended low because of the weight of sin that we are carrying. But when we give it to Christ at the cross of Christ, and we realize that he has died for our sins and taken that load from us, we will come to him and we will give him all of our problems for the day and for the times that we have here on earth. He will give us that peace which passes all understanding. And our broken hearts and our downtrodden life can be uplifted in peace and glory, and we can have a life full and abundant, living for the Lord in happiness, even though the trials about us is taking its toll maybe on our physical life. And we see many times this happening in so many different ways. And we see many, many people that even give their lives for the Lord in these things. You got to excuse me, my throat feels parched today. But anyway, so we see Christ then not only healing the brokenhearted and giving liberty to the captives that's captive in sin, and that as they come and as they accept what Christ did on Calvary's cross, they will be free from that sin and they will have the abundant life that God wants us to have. We will have his peace, not the peace of the world, but his peace. And as we go and we have trials in our own lives, we find many times we have to say, Lord, help me through this trial, or help me through this day. Help my mind to be stayed on you and to give you all the credit and glory, because you're the only one that can help me through these things. And we see that so very, very plainly. And we would also see that these people of Nazareth did not accept Christ because he had been from there, and they were looking for him as a carpenter's boy instead of as the Son of God. And we see that even in our own lives many times on some things, especially those who goes into the Lord's work. They maybe come back and they want to be around those that they grew up with, and they're looking for support in that area. And they find that many of them will say, that's not the same person I knew. That's not the one that I knew as growing up. They're so different. And therefore, they will reject that person. And I've experienced that in my own family when I accepted the Lord and stuff, and I seen how many of them would question my belief in Christ and how they would take and say, it's only superficial. It's not something that will last. And many of, and I even had some of them told me to get off of it, that we have to live for today and today alone, and that's all that counts. And Jesus is saying, live for eternity. Live for the life that's going to happen after you die in this physical life. And where will you spend that? In heaven or in hell? And he goes on and he proclaims the word of the Lord to those people. If you notice, in Isaiah, he stopped in the middle of verse 2. And in the last half of that verse, it says, the day of vengeance of the Lord will come upon us. And that's when Christ comes again. And before that, we see in Revelation where it speaks very plainly about end times. And it gives us the things we can look for, and we can see the nearness of Christ coming in the physical body in which he will sit upon his throne, David's throne in Jerusalem, and he will reign here on earth for 1,000 years. And we see that in Revelation. But before that happens even, we see the tribulation period, which is coming upon mankind. And we have seen many of these signs already taking place. We have seen them coming together. We've seen that Israel was not a nation for a little over 2,000 years. And in 1948, they were voted by the UN to have their own place and their own nation. Since that time, they grew from something like 500,000 people to over 5 million living in this small land of Israel today. Many of them, of course, are on welfare, and they have come there because they want to be in their homeland. There are many of them that have accepted Jesus Christ, and many of the old Jewish customs where the new ones have accepted the Lord, they try and tell them, you're not a Jew, you're a Christian, and Christians aren't Jewish. Yet, we see that the Jews that have accepted Christ and know their Bible will prove to them that they are still Jews. As far as nationality goes, they are still the chosen people of God, and God is blessing them because they have embraced his Son that has come the first time and has died on the cross for their sins, and he's coming again. We see a world government coming upon this earth, and we see in that world government there will be one world ruler, and there will be one ruler in the religious realm. And in the religious realm, besides that, there is what they call a beast, and that first beast is wounded mortally, and the second beast comes along and makes a image onto that first one, and he makes the first one healed again and brought back to life and to speak. Now, if it's literal or if it's something that they do electronically, I could not tell you. But I do know this, that electronically they can make these things happen, and they have proven it, that they can make people happen. And I think I mentioned it some time ago, where they had taken a picture of Marilyn Monroe, and she died in 1962. And they had a picture of her, and they made her sit in another lap of one of the news commentators and speak. And her voice was almost identical to her original voice, maybe a little bit higher octave. But she was speaking. And this is what technology can do today. But God says, I will pour out my vengeance upon the people who reject Jesus Christ. And I will pour it out upon them, and they will call for death, and death will flee from them because it will not come, because they have to go through the torment and the punishment that God has given, is giving them for rejecting Jesus Christ. You know, it tells us in Scripture and in Hebrews and Romans is two real good places that if we have heard the Word of God and if we stamp it underfoot, what can we expect besides vengeance from God Almighty? Because we have trodden underfoot His only begotten Son that He sent into the world to die for our sins. And if we reject Jesus Christ, as the leaders of the Jewish people did of that day, they will have to pay for it, and we would too, because Jesus says, I am coming again, and my reward is with me. So are we serving Christ and saying, yes, I have Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and I will show His love to my family, to my friends, I will show it at work, and it may not always be in word, but it will be in deed, showing that God is first in all that I say or do. And if people see Christ in me, they will glorify God the Father. We've seen that the leaders of that day, of Jesus' day, they rejected Christ, and they rejected His coming. And yet Jesus went to the simple people of that day, or the sinners and the lost and downtrodden, and He lifted them up. The woman that came to Him and touched His garment, and in faith she says, if I but touch His garment, I will be healed from my disease. And Jesus turns about and says, who touched me? And the disciples, of course, saying, Lord, think of the multitude swarming around You, and You want to know who touched You? What's wrong with you? How can you figure that? And Jesus says, I could feel the Spirit leaving me and healing. And that woman comes and to Him and admits what had happened. And He says, arise, go in faith. Your faith has made you whole. And He's telling us the same thing. If we have faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary, that He not only died there and shed His blood for us, but that He was put in the grave and that He rose again. If we believe that wholeheartedly and we are completely committed to Christ, He will help us through each step of the way, regardless of the cost to us here on earth. Because, as Paul said, I count my life here as nothing compared to the reward that's waiting for me in heaven. And so as we see the birth of Christ, and we're in the Advent season, and we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ in about a month, we see that it is God who has sent His only begotten Son into the world, not only to die for us, but to give us that grace we need today as we live for Him and as we go through life each step of the way. We can see also, and we can tell, that even though the world was made by God, He came into the world, and the world did not know Him. His people didn't know Him. The chosen people that He had chosen and led out of Egypt didn't know Him. And He says, I will make a new covenant with you, and that covenant will be forever. And in the new Jerusalem in eternity, when it comes down out of heaven to earth, it will be lighted by God Himself, and there'll be no sun there, there'll be no pain, no sorrow, and it says all the former things will be passed away, and we will remember them no longer. So we can see that Christ comes because God sent Him, and He told the disciples that, He told the leaders that my Father has sent me, and I speak the words which He has told me to speak. And if we walk with the Lord today, we will find that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us each step of the way. And many times we will find we don't know maybe how to react in certain cases that's happening to us. Yet God will give us the words in which to say at the time that we need them and at the time of who we're talking to. and we will see that God will take care of us each step of the way, because Christ coming was the Messiah, and he's coming again. He says, I am he who was, who is, and who is to come. And we know that this is the truth in which Jesus speaks to the people. And he tells us so many different things of how he is the good shepherd, the shepherd of our soul, and the one that leads us in all truth and on all righteousness. And we can trust in him regardless of what's happening in the world today. And the covenant that God is going to set upon his people, the Israelites, of that day will be one. They will know him as we know him, and the Holy Spirit will lead them also, just like he leads us today when we have given our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us this day. Help us, O Lord, to have you in our heart and in our life. And Lord, I pray that we would not reject Christ, but we will stand up for him, and that we will live for him day by day. Help our hearts and our minds to be stayed on him, and help us, Lord, to give our burdens to him each day as he guides us and keeps us. In Jesus' name, amen.